where the Spirit of Jesus Christ is, there is liberty, freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from being in bondage to the law. You've been freed from it. Why in the world would you want to go back and put yourself under bondage? What is it you're trying to accomplish? Righteousness? I have righteousness. What is it you're trying to find? Favor with God? I have favor with God. What is it you're trying to find? Answered prayers? Power? Fruitfulness in ministry? I have all of that, and I'm not keeping the law of Moses. I am upholding the law of Moses. I am upholding the Ten Commandments. Please, in the name of Jesus Christ, humble yourself and get this, because I live a life of love empowered by the grace of Jesus Christ who lives in my heart. I don't have the Ten Commandments hanging on my wall anywhere. There's no need for it. Why is there no need for it? You only need the Ten Commandments, as the Word says, if you're a murderer, adulterer, a liar, a cheater, somebody greedy, somebody who's idolatrous. That's the only reason the law is for those people. It's not for people that have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living inside of them, who are positively, proactively doing good rather than reactively, defensively trying to avoid doing evil. This is the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. This is Brother Michael. I wish I knew your name. All I see is American Torah. I just wanted to humbly ask you to consider this. My friend, for 11 years, I've been in full-time ministry. God raised up a very unique ministry in my life. I have one of the only testimonies I can find in the entire world where God has done something so bizarre that he has undergirded my entire testimony in every major event, both blessing and perplexings, by a precisely timed number of dates that all point back to a biblical number. I'd really encourage you to watch the documentary called The Heavenly Scandal, God's shocking response to one man's divorce and remarriage. It's remarkable. It shows the sovereignty and power of God's control over all people, time, circumstances, and events. I put that out there, that if you've ever seen anything like this, please let me know. And God's done it for a reason, because there is so much confusion today. So many people have so many different opinions about what it means to be a Christian. And I ever so humbly want to just ask you to give consideration to this. If you're following the Torah, I don't know how long you've been doing it, probably a very long time if you're calling yourself the American Torah, or at least the channel, right? If you've been following the Torah, you've put yourself back under the law, and you've thought for sure you've been doing a good thing. You too watched a YouTube video at some time where perhaps some, you know, Gentile-looking man grew the hair long on the side of his head and started to honor the Torah, the rules of the law of Moses, and perhaps he had enough intellect and study of the Jewish history, of the Judeo-Christian faith, and you felt convincing, and it looked very religious and very convincing, and there were some sound arguments no doubt made, just as there could be sound arguments made for Mormonism, for Catholicism, for atheism, you name it. So there's some great arguments that are made for being a Torah observant, quote, Christian. But I will tell you that I can tell you something that would be true about you, and I don't even know who you are. I don't even know if you're a man or a woman. I suppose that you're probably the man that I see in the picture. But I'm going to say this to you, that you'll not have the seven things that Jesus Christ promised as fruits to all true followers of his. You'll not have that Matthew 6:31-34 divine provision that comes to you in a way that you know is only by God. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you. So, for example, I live in a life where by faith, I've lived by faith. I haven't asked a man to actually go to my donate button ever since it's been up on my website. And I have provided for myself and my family now in New Zealand. I've been living like this for 8 years. I've never asked the first person for a dollar. I didn't have any savings. I didn't have any savings account. I didn't have any salary. I didn't have any anything. No, not a job. The Lord told me to trust him. And so I did. And so you cannot find in 455 videos where I've ever asked anybody for money. God told me to trust him and to seek his face and to obey him. He tested me severely in it because I used to be a man who made a lot of money. So he tested me severely in this area, which I was very good at, very self-sufficient at. But he has provided for me since, I've been in the ministry since 2011, so 11 years. And then he asked me in January of 2013, so basically 9 years ago, to set down the ministry, or set down my tent-making business, and I've trusted in him entirely. So basically, when you look at me, you're looking at an ongoing financial miracle in addition to all the other miracles that the Lord has had me share. You see an evidence here. I trusted God. I mean, money doesn't just show up. It doesn't grow on trees. I don't do Kickstart campaigns. I don't put advertising on my videos. I don't have even that many views anymore on my videos. And God has provided for me for all these years. It's one of the greatest, longest evidences. I mean, I would just ask you, supposing you quit your job tomorrow and you didn't put up any videos, no Kickstart campaigns, no, hey, if you really like this video, you ought to consider sending a donation. Hey, if you really want to support my work, like a lot of people do at the end of their videos, you never put up any one of those. And then you don't allow yourself to take any money at certain times early on in this from anybody who knows your condition. So when you start doing this, you don't take any money from your parents. You don't take any money to bail you out from friends or family who know the situation. God ties your hands behind your backs and tells you you can only take money from people who don't directly know of your need. And then during those 8 to 9 years, you never once make a single need ever known to anybody. I mean, just try to imagine this. Please just humble yourself. You cannot follow the Torah and have that kind of an experience. You'll never see that kind of a divine provision, Matthew 6:31 through 34. You'll never see it. Okay? That is a power. Right now, what you're going to have is you're going to have the word in word only. The word is not going to have any power in your life. Again, I don't know you, but I know this for a fact. You'll not have the rest for your weary soul. Matthew 11:28 through 30, Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all of you who are weary and burdened." What is he speaking about? He's speaking to people who are under the burden and the oppression and the bondage to 613 laws of the Jewish Torah that have not been able to do anything but to write a narrative of absolute failure after failure after failure. You're going to write it to yourself. You cannot have Jesus Christ and Moses. You cannot have Mosianity and Christianity in the same. You cannot add Moses to Jesus Christ. You cannot do such a thing. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of everything that Moses brought through the Torah that men have never been able to do. So why you think now you're going to be able to fulfill it, and why you need to bring back the things that Jesus Christ taught? See, now I tell you, I'm going to tell you boldly, you've picked the wrong website and the wrong channel to post this on. If you went to a normal Christian channel who all they can speak to you is about is doctrine, then you can just argue back and forth and make your case that you need Jesus and Moses, and Moses came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. When you tell that to me, I'm going to tell you by the power of the Holy Spirit, as evidenced by all of his power in my life, answered prayers, hundreds of documented, recorded, prophetic answers to prayer, things told in advance, dozens and dozens of things told in advance publicly before they come, such that people testified on video. They've watched my story and they've said, "I didn't believe the way God was speaking to you at first, but then every single thing that he tells you comes to pass. Well, I have to believe it's from God." You would too if you took the time to see that my life is not a life of word only, but the Holy Spirit and the Word of God came to me in power. Paul taught that the Word of God is not a matter of words and talk. The kingdom of God is not a matter of words and talk, but of power. And I would ask you, do you have the power? You're not going to have it. Is your life completely transformed? No. Externally, it will be. You'll have a bunch of keeping of festivals, keeping of days, wearing certain clothes, not wearing certain clothes. And what I used to always do to share with people like yourself, to try to show them how foolish, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm going to try to show you as quickly as I can how foolish it is to go from the power of God made manifest and the incarnate Son of Jesus Christ, who came and bled and died to do for you and your sins what the law of Moses never could, Deuteronomy 6, by keeping that law, this will be your righteousness. It'll never happen. No one can be found or made righteous by the keeping of the law. And as James taught, if you fail in one law, you have failed in other of them, in all of them. And so what I've tried to suggest is, it's not like Jesus is covering you over on the laws that you can't keep. This is an absolute false gospel. Jesus, oh God in heaven, help you to see this. You're never going to be found righteous having kept that law, my friend, not even by adding Jesus Christ to it. When you try to add the keeping of the Torah, even the keeping of a Sabbath day, who Jesus Christ, if you notice, never once you'll find anywhere in any of his teachings does he tell anyone you must keep the Sabbath. Never once. It doesn't exist. On the contrary, if you have eyes to see, spiritual eyes, you will notice that Jesus Christ intentionally violated the Sabbath. In fact, the writer John says they wanted to stone him and kill him not only because he broke the Sabbath. This is the writer, aided by the Holy Spirit, saying that Jesus Christ broke the Sabbath, but because he claimed to be the Son of God. He was committing, in their eyes, blasphemy. Jesus in the field for his disciples, telling people to pick up their mat and walk, or it was doing the greatest miracles he had ever done. He does them almost intentionally on the Sabbath, to help try to get those with eyes to see that something new has happened, that Jesus Christ is calling in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He's doing something very bizarre. If you have eyes to see this, he says, come unto me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, anybody who understood rest, the Shabbat, the Sabbath, they would have known that was given to Israel, by the way. If you read those words, it's quite shocking. It was not given to Gentiles. Go read Genesis chapter 15. You'll see that as soon as people like you came and tried to put any of the Gentiles under the law of Moses, they were rebuked by the Holy Spirit. Why would you try to put this yoke on your brothers that even you have not been able to keep, the Holy Spirit asks? And so you are going to go and teach that people need to be back under the law of Moses. No, you do not. You cannot. And what's happening here, you're in danger of preaching a false gospel. Paul said, if anyone, he teaches this to the church at Galatians, if anyone preaches to you a different gospel other than the one that we preach to you, he says, whether an angel or even we preach a different gospel. And he says it twice. He says, let that person be eternally condemned. So when you try to add the law of Moses to the gospel, and you haven't understood what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, 17 through 20, where he's talking to the people at the Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying, look, do not suppose I've come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Now, if you did not put in, but to fulfill it, then we have a real serious problem, and we have a real license and a real consideration to go back to keeping the Torah. But when you understand that Jesus Christ fulfilled it, and when you understand what the purpose of the law is, and keep in mind, the Pharisees were keeping the law. He says in 5:20, I tell you the truth, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus comes to bring an internal righteousness. He comes to give a grace, Romans 13, to live by love. And those who live by love have fulfilled the entire law. You look at a Matthew 7, 12, do to others as you would have others do to you, for this fulfills all of the law and the prophets. If you live a life by love, this is where, man, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you get free of this. Because you're never going to experience that rest. You're going to end up, and I pray God gets you there fast. You see, here's what's so dangerous about the mixing of the Torah and Jesus. You take the Torah, which you'll never be able to keep. Right now, you're in violation of it. You're in violation of the Torah right now, and I'll tell you why. If you don't believe me, I'm pretty confident of this. If you look somewhere on your body and you read all the tags, you'll see you are wearing articles of clothing with mixed fabric on them. Have you realized that's in the Torah and that's a violation of the Torah? Have you realized that if you have a daughter who's ever makes a mistake and sleeps around promiscuously, that you need to take her out and stone her to death? Are you willing to go all the way with the Torah? Are you willing to go all the way into the fact that if you ever have a teenage son who won't listen to you, you're to take him out to the elders and let them stone him to death? Do you want that kind of Torah in your life? See, I used to tell people, listen, if you're going to be a Torah observant Christian, go all the way, get rid of Jesus, follow Moses if he's your savior, and obey all 613 laws. Then I may have some respect for you. But for you to go and cherry pick the law of Moses, the ones that are convenient to you, the ones that cause you to feel self-righteous, the ones that give you a false sense of security in your religion, the ones that still leave you dead and powerless in your heart, but who will certainly prop you up and give you an appearance. You'll have a form of godliness. You'll deny its power. My friend, you do not have any power in your life. You'll not have the real transformative power of the Holy Spirit and grace of Jesus Christ because you're holding on to the law, which has never been able to make anyone righteous in God's eyes. Never. Jesus Christ is the end of the law. Why? Because he brings a grace that finally allows people to live a life of love, to love God and to love other people. That's what the law could never do. The sinful nature does not obey God's law, nor can it. It hates it, and nor can it obey God's law. This is why Paul said, through the law, as a Jew, you're not a Jew, I don't think. So he has more authority than you do. From the tribe of Benjamin, he speaks as a Pharisee of Pharisees, faultless in his righteousness. He says, through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. If you've understood it properly, when you go and read Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8, which I bet as a Torah keeper, you would hate to read, because it shows that the law is absolutely powerless. And it shows that you must die to the law that you may live and be married to a new one. You died to the law. Why do you then go back to the one you're supposed to die to? Go read Romans chapter 7. You are supposed to have died to the law. The law is only useful, hence the reason why Jesus Christ doesn't abolish it. It is not useful for anything except to show and produce and manifest the transgressions and sins in the heart of men. If you go to a swimming pool and there's no sign posted with rules, there's no way you could ever be a rule breaker. In God's kingdom, everybody must know they're a rule breaker. God has handed over all men to disobedience so that he can have mercy on them. That's why the law will never be abolished. Please listen to me. I'm speaking to you as a man who has the evidence of God and his Holy Spirit and power in my life. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm saying this to you not to gloat over you, to boast over you, but to try to cut some of the false ground out from underneath of you. If you were to take your Christianity and stack it up against the Christianity that I'm preaching, you'll see that they do not match up at all, and yours is completely powerless. The reason that the law, Jesus Christ, does not abolish it is because to do so would be to abolish man's ability to see himself as a sinner who falls flat in his efforts to please God. That's what makes the gospel so beautiful, not the mixing of the law and Jesus. And now you can go back and actually keep special days, events, times, and you can actually go back and wear the proper clothing and eat the proper foods and abstain from the proper foods and don't do this and don't touch that and don't taste this. Don't you understand these things have an appearance of humility? But they do nothing in actually restraining sensual indulgence. They do nothing to transform your heart. And so you know what will happen? I'm going to go out on a little limb here and tell you. You're going to end up a very frustrated religious person, with the exception of those who will pump you up around you and make you feel self-righteous, who follow in the same path of error that you are on. But if you will ever get quiet and you will look at your heart, you will see that your heart is void of the true peace of God. You're void of the power that comes by walking in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Where the Spirit of Jesus Christ is, there is liberty, freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from being in bondage to the law. You've been freed from it. Why in the world would you want to go back and put yourself under bondage? What is it you're trying to accomplish? Righteousness? I have righteousness. What is it you're trying to find? Favor with God? I have favor with God. What is it you're trying to find? Answered prayers? Power? Fruitfulness in ministry? I have all of that, and I'm not keeping the law of Moses. I am upholding the law of Moses. I am upholding the Ten Commandments. Please, in the name of Jesus Christ, humble yourself and get this, because I live a life of love empowered by the grace of Jesus Christ who lives in my heart. I don't have the Ten Commandments hanging on my wall anywhere. There's no need for it. Why is there no need for it? You only need the Ten Commandments, as the Word says, if you're a murderer, adulterer, a liar, a cheater, somebody greedy, somebody who's idolatrous. That's the only reason the law is for those people. It's not for people that have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living inside of them, who are positively, proactively doing good rather than reactively, defensively trying to avoid doing evil. This is the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant's all about trying to don't do this, don't do that, avoid this, stop doing this, prevent yourself from doing this, put yourself in offense. The New Covenant is entirely about now you have power, now you have grace, and you can go out by the Spirit of Jesus Christ and live a life of love to other people. How in the world can you make sense believing what you believe? Because if you believe what you believe, my friend, you must believe I'm terribly deceived. There's no other way about it. Where is all the power in my life coming from? Where is all the insight that I'm giving you now about the Word of God without having to have a Bible in front of me? Where is all this coming from to give you words and insight and speak to you the heart of God directly from the New Covenant of Scripture? Is it coming from Satan? Am I preaching a false gospel? No. I'm preaching the true gospel, the gospel that liberates you from what the law could never do. Jesus Christ abolished the law and its regulations, all of its external regulations. Paul taught this, but you guys will have to come along and say that Paul was a false teacher or we've misinterpreted what he says. No, you know how I can end that argument for you and end that argument for anybody on the internet who says that? You will recognize a tree by its fruit. Compare your fruit to mine to yours. I'm not trying to lord it over you. I'm trying to cut out the ground from underneath your feet, the false ground you're standing on. Do you have the seven things that Jesus Christ promised? I already told you the first one. Divine provision. I've given you evidence of it in my life. Second one, come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. You're never going to find rest for your souls. You're going to find the same self-righteous excitement of trying to look down on other people who aren't quite as righteous as you are keeping the law of Moses. You are walking on a landmine. You will never find the peace in your heart. The peace you have will be the same peace the Pharisees had. It is false. It is false. And may God have mercy on you and let him pull the rug out from underneath of you, not just me, so that you can see this false, hollow ground you're standing on. You're standing on a sinkhole, my friend. You're never going to have John 4:13-14. Whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again. You'll never have, trying to follow the law, a true inner heart contentment from the ways of the world. You'll have to force it upon your children, force it upon your wife. It'll have to be something you guys live from a lifestyle of religion rather than from an internal religion of the heart, where you no longer love or thirst for anything after the world. I have nothing in this world I'm interested in. How is that possible? I have no extracurricular activities. I have no entertainment. I have no interest in anything in the world. My entertainment is going to the woods and spending time with Father, my friend. How do you explain that? And I've been this way for the better part of 12 years now, since October 2009, when I fully surrendered my entire will to Jesus Christ after already being a Christian for 19 years, or at least calling myself one. Do you have rest for your soul? Do you have contentment from all things in the world? No interest in lust after the things in the world? Because I tell you something, that's the only way you'll get that is when Jesus Christ is living inside of you. Do you have John 8:31-36? To the Jews who believed in him, he said, "You are really my disciples if you hold to my teaching," not the teaching Moses, my teaching. "Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free." And they say, "What do you mean free? We are descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you now say we shall be set free?" And Jesus explains to them, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. I want to ask you, do you have freedom from sin? If I was a fly on the wall, if I called some of your friends and family, I'm asking you to be honest with yourself. If I called your friends and family, if I called the people you work with, if I found out where you worked, if I looked you up, and I described sins, attitudes, behaviors, angers, love of money, love of the world, lustful, you know, looks at other people, et cetera, et cetera. What would I find by way of lifestyle sin, things you're still not free of and practicing? What would I find if I followed you at work and somebody cut you off in traffic? Would I see that you have control of your anger? Would I see that you have a righteousness in your heart? No, I would not. You don't have it. My friend, I can tell you for a fact you don't have it. You can't have it following the law. It'll never happen. And God will not honor you except to deceive you into your own eternal condemnation. He will not honor the power of Christ when you try to mix it with the law of Moses. The old covenant in the Torah is absolutely Jewishly beautiful for understanding the ways of God, how he deals with the patriarchs, and how he expects. I love the Old Testament. I live in it. I breathe it. I eat it. I sleep it. I love all the stories. I love learning from him. Learning about how to waiting on God, critical. You're only going to learn how to do that in the Old Covenant. Totally depending on God and watching God go through amazing things where he gives you faith and then circumstances completely contradict it. Those stories are rich all throughout the Old Covenant in the Torah. But you don't go to the law of Moses and start trying to obey the laws of Moses in the New Covenant. I mean, in the Old Covenant. There's no need for it when you're filled with the Spirit of the living Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law. May God help you to see this. You have the Lord of the Sabbath living inside of you. If you're a true Christian, he said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You're not going to have that John 8:31 freedom from sin. There will be sins that own you. I'm not free of the capacity to sin. I'm free of all lifestyle sin. I don't live in any known sin. And the Holy Spirit keeps me on a very short leash. If I ever fall short of his glory, if I ever get outside of the narrow path, which as I've seen in my life gets more and more narrow, God immediately corrects me. I repent and confess whatever sin it is. But my friend, I'm not living in any known lifestyle sin. I have no love of money. I'm not living in anger. I don't have any unforgiveness. Why? Because I'm so righteous? No, because the blood of Jesus Christ has freed me from all sin. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Whoever sins is a slave to sin, Jesus Christ said. And a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Hallelujah, praise his name. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is what you'll miss out on if you're trying to mix, like oil and water, the law of Moses with the law of Christ. You'll not have John 15:5-8. An abundance of answered prayers. I would ask you, do you have evidence of an abundance of answered prayers that go far beyond God providing for you, just as he does the pagans, the heathens, the unbelievers, and the wicked all around you? This is the common grace of Matthew 5:45. He makes his sun shine on the righteous and the unrighteous, the rain on the wicked and the good. Do you have something that goes beyond that? Do you have evidence? Are you hearing God? John 8:47. Do you literally hear God? Those who belong to God hear God. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God. Do you hear him? Are you doing his will? Is he guiding and direct? Do you have a living relationship with him? Or do you have a relationship with religion and a relationship with the Bible and a relationship with the law of Moses? Do you understand even the difference? I didn't for 19 years. I'm trying to tell you, my friend, you're on dangerous ground. You're on dangerous ground. Do you have John 15:9-11? Has your joy of Jesus Christ been made complete? Do you have John 7:37? I ask you this. If I met some people that you worked with, would they say that out of you flows rivers of living water? That your belly is full of rivers of living water? Do you have these things? These are the things that Jesus Christ said that you can know if you're a true follower of Christ, you'll have in your life. You'll never, mark my words, you'll never find that trying to mix oil and water, trying to mix the old. You're guilty of doing exactly what Jesus Christ warned when he gave the insight about taking a garment. He said, no one takes a new patch and sews it on an old garment. If so, it will shrink away and tear and ruin the garment. He also says, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the skins will be ruined, and as will the wine. And then he says this shocking thing. He says, but after drinking the new wine, they go back and prefer saying that the old wine is better. He says, no one wants the new wine. That is you. That is Jesus' teaching about you. You're not wanting the new wine. The new wine requires that you take up a cross, you deny yourself, you live entirely by the full work that Jesus Christ did for you on the cross by faith. You have to believe in faith. Do you know how much pride you have to swallow in order to believe that Jesus Christ is fully sufficient in justifying you of your sins, putting your faith in Christ? Do you know how much pride you have to swallow in order to believe that versus, oh, it's still up to me. I still get to obey the law of Moses. I still get to earn merit before God. It's absolutely wicked. It's wicked. I obey Jesus Christ, I'll just be factually honest with you, more than most any person I know. And that's why I'm seeing. But watch this. I'm doing this out of love for him, for what he already did for me in response to my faith. My love, just like my wife's love to me, causes her to submit and obey to me. I submit and obey Jesus Christ. You're never going to experience the joy and the peace and the rest, my friend, of trying to mix and suggest that what Jesus Christ did on the cross and that Jesus Christ's words and God even sending Jesus Christ is not enough. You got to still go back and add the foolishness of the law of Moses. The law itself is good. When I say foolishness, I don't say that the law is foolish. Attempting to keep it, the old covenant, while in the new covenant. The new covenant abolishes the old. Have you read Hebrews chapter 10? It abolishes it. That old covenant you're trying so desperately to hold on to is abolished. It takes humility and faith to say, I need to set this down, and watch how hard your self-righteousness will fight against this. You're deceived, my friend, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that one day you find it out. If you and I had a chance to sit next to each other, work next to each other, you would find out, recognizing a tree by its fruit, that you and I are in possession of very different results in our religion. Mine is a religion of power. God speaks to me. He guides me. He gives me insights. He tells me things that are going to happen before they happen. This is the true Christian life that has been experienced by the very best of God's saints and children for the last 2,000 years. I pray you'll take warning and come out of that. Come out of that. Father, I just pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for this person. Lord God, free them. Give them eyes to see this, Father. Give them eyes to see, Lord. Let the doubt, God, steamroll into their heart right now, the doubt of what they've been holding on to. I pray you'll cause a tremendous amount of doubt, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you'll usher in humility to have them come to a place of humility that they've never been before, Father. That they would be willing to say, wow, what if I have built is not what God is pleased with. Father God, that they would really reconsider and be willing to be wrong in the eyes of their family, be willing to be wrong in the eyes of all those that they are teaching, and to say, I've been wrong. God Almighty, it's going to take a tremendous amount of humility to do something like that. But there is no other way to have eternal life. The disciples, they would say, Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words that lead to eternal life. Father, bless this person, Lord. Free them from this lie. Help them to see the beauty of the old covenant the way it is. That it was a bondage that you liberated us from through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Not a net that we were supposed to get ourselves back tangled in. And what a disgrace that is. What a foolishness that is in the face of all that you did to liberate us from that which man could never do to save himself or please you. God, in the name of Christ Jesus, open this person's eyes. I know you've had me make this message for a reason. God, it takes humility. It's no different than when a sinner finds out they're a sinner. They have to swallow their pride and admit their desperate need for salvation because of their wickedness. God, I pray in Jesus' name, this person is able to see the wickedness, God, that they have fallen away from grace, if they ever had it. And if they haven't, God, that they would come to a true saving knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ through grace alone, by faith alone, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, help this person to see this. Help this person to get a fresh start if you're willing, or God, for that matter, any person who will ever come across this comment and hear it. Lord, how I pray in the name of Christ, You will free them, God. This Torah observant thing is horrible. It is a wretch. It has bewitched so many people. I've never seen anything that's gaining as much ground and all of Christ. And none of these people have your power, God. And none of these people are pleasing you. And God, they're just as deceived as the Pharisees are. God, open the eyes of the blind. Father, in Jesus' name, I know that you said, Lord Jesus Christ, that you came in this world, John 9:39, for judgment, that those who do not see would see and those who believe they can see would become blind. God, you said to those Pharisees who came to you and said, do you say we are blind too? And Lord, your words were, if you were truly blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But because you think you can see, your guilt remains. God, this person thinks they can see. All the people, Father God, that are following the Torah, they think they can see. They are just as blind as the Pharisees. God, I pray in the name of Christ Jesus, you will break off that spirit of spiritual blindness. Set them free, Father, from the lies of Satan. God, if he can't chase us away from you, he chases us into that which is counterfeit and that which is false and that which is old, tired, true, and abolished. God in heaven, Jesus' name, have mercy upon this person, Lord. Have mercy upon this person, Lord. Show them the light, Father, the freedom that comes in Christ, the willingness to let go of that security blanket of thinking they can please you by holding on to the Torah, to let go and push out into deep waters, the deep waters of faith in Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, and then to learn to obey your teachings because of the love of what you've done to forgive them. Open their eyes, Lord. Help them to see they're standing on solid ground. They're standing on the ground of a dead religion that has no power and there is no transformation in their heart. God, and I pray in Jesus' name, if they do not hear it in this message, you would show them, frustrate them, God. Let them see their sins. Let them see their failure. Let them see that they can't stop doing that thing. Let them see Romans 7 as their narrative. They cannot escape. The good they want to do, they do not do. The evil they do not want to do, they keep doing it. Let them see they are failing and no amount of keeping this and keeping that and not eating this and not eating that and observing this day and observing that day will do anything to absolve them of this debt. No one, their righteousness is filthy rags, will be absolved by the carrying out or the keeping of the law. No one will be found righteous in that. Father in heaven, have mercy in Jesus' name. Have mercy. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. I just want to add one final thought for you to consider. I believe the Lord has shown me that one of the great reasons why so many professing Christians are beginning to embrace Torah observant teaching is because they are bored with what is currently being called Christianity in their experience. They already were in possession of a dead, washed up, Americanized megachurch insanity that was completely powerless and left them wanting. And so naturally you begin to search. What am I missing? Some people go to the outrageous charismatic madness movement. Some people begin to look to psychology to add something to their dead, boring Christianity because it's lifeless and it's powerless. And the truth is that Christians who jump from Christianity to Torah are no better off than somebody who jumps from Christianity to psychology. You're no better off. In fact, you're probably worse because you may at least eventually find out psychology is rooted in Satan, Freud, Jung, all these guys. And you could at least then recognize this isn't working. But because you're going to that which originated in the Word of God, and because it has all this excitement to it, just ask the Lord to show this to you. It's got this excitement, the richness of history. Who doesn't like to go look at old things? Who doesn't like to go to museums? Who doesn't like to explore heritage? And of course, that's what happens. There's an excitement. Oh man, the scrolls, the Torah, the reading of it, the Jewish traditions, the richness of it all. It's like going to an archaeological dig. It adds some spice to something that you had, which you thought was actual Christianity, which wasn't. It wasn't working for you. It's powerless. You will find that you're going to have to put on that habit of religion. You're going to have to be a pretender. The people that are following Torah are pretenders. You have to pretend the part. You have to look happy. You have to act. You're doing it all external. It's a complete deception. It's like a counterfeit spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to bless somebody who puts themselves back under the law. When you put yourself under the law, you have fallen away from grace. Just that final word that Ask yourself, isn't it true that you are deeply unsatisfied in your Christianity? Why am I not deeply unsatisfied in my Christianity? Why do I not feel the need to go look for something exciting, something new, something to spice it up? My life is so incredibly spicy that I can barely keep up with it. I've actually asked the Lord, please, God, stay your hand for a little while and let me catch up to the story. This is the truth, what I'm telling you. I beg you to stick around and go to relentlessheart.com. I challenge you this, just with some little extra time you have. Go to relentlessheart.com and listen to the series called Trusting God in the Wilderness, the series tab Trusting God in the Wilderness, and just begin to listen to all that happens in my life in the years between 2012 and 2015 in the series called Walking or Trusting God in the Wilderness. And begin to listen. It's real-time captured journal entries. The good, the bad, the ugly, the insane, the satanic, you name it. The fears, the unbelievable joys, the terrible sufferings. And ask yourself, have you actually ever suffered and carried a cross like this? Have you lost family members and friends beside of the fact that they were smart enough to see that you've gone down almost into a cult by going back to Mosianity? But have you ever really, for the true cause of Christ, suffered terrible losses and things like you will hear about in that Trusting God in the Wilderness? I challenge you, just go listen to it. Listen to the richness in that experience. I just got a comment from a gentleman the other day named Paul from England. He's now been through that series. He's on his way through it the fifth time. I mind you, it's 250 hours worth of content. 3 years contact captured all real time in the most raw, intense, detailed thing probably you could hear anywhere on the internet. Most people say it's unprecedented. They've never heard of anything like this, where God had me turn my life completely inside out to show the truth of God's word, the truth of what it looks like to walk with Jesus Christ. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the foolishness of walking away from the person of Jesus Christ and all that he is in his fullness and his grace and his spirit and his word and his truth, and trying to attempt to add Moses to him and going back and creating Mosianity rather than Christianity. Go listen to it. I dare you to go listen to Trusting God in the Wilderness and listen to see how that matches up. Watch how that matches up so perfectly with the Bible and so perfectly with the stories of the people in the Bible and with the people for 2,000 years since. Go listen to it. Go hear the answered prayers. Go hear the prophetic, God telling me in advance this is going to happen. Go hear the suffering, family members turning away from me, losing a spouse to unfaithfulness, losing children, having to go to court, being drug in court, God telling me in advance he'll deliver me. Go listen to that series and compare it to what you have in the name of dead religion, Old Covenant Mosianity. I think you'll be absolutely sobered up. May it be in Jesus' name.